You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness and health entrepreneurs come to learn how to make more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. If you'd like to build your ideal business, listen in to this episode. And if you'd like to work with me to do it faster, you can email me at pat@patrigsby.com. Hey everybody, Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guests are Charmaine and Greg from Jungle Athletic, or is it Athletics? You guys are going to correct me on this.
It's Athletics.
Yes.
Okay. So, and as a special bonus today, it is Char's birthday as we record it. So, it's not going to be her birthday when you're listening to it, but still, you can retroactively sing her happy birthday whenever you get the chance. But, guys, welcome. I'm excited to have you here. And tell you what, I gather, Greg, you're going to give us a little bit of the backstory of kind of you guys' business and just to lead up and give context to what we're going to talk about today.
Sure. Yeah, I'll try to be brief. So I'll start with, I came back from China and I was broke and I lived in my truck. And I needed some work.
What were you doing in China?
I was training speed skaters, and I was there for several years. Anyway, I was training this paratrooper in his garage, and he was my one client. And I just kind of, I guess I lucked out. I found a few other clients. They started training, and it grew from there. This would be the first Jungle. I rented space after that with a buddy of mine, and we shared space for a bit. And then it grew big enough that I could get my own space. And that's when I made my first huge mistake of getting a space that I could barely afford, but I thought I could grow into it. And I did, actually. I grew into it and things were successful. And I had, you know, I had trainers working for me and things were good for a while. But the rent, it was like a wall coming at you. It just, that overhead just kept coming. And, you know, once you lose that big contract, that a big hockey contract. And once I lost that, because they're spread all around all the time. They like to jump around. I didn't get a 3-year contract. I just got a 1-year contract. Once I lost that, that rent just kept coming at me. And, you know, I'll tell the listeners the truth. Like, I was definitely on my way to bankruptcy. Definitely. But I managed to survive the five-year lease. And I learned my lesson there. And near the end of that period, Charmaine, lovely Charmaine came into my life, but it was too late to save that jungle. So we kind of limped out of that space and we looked around. We found another one that was a little bit smaller, way cheaper, about a third the overhead. So we moved into there. We changed kind of the direction of the jungle. We focused on youth. So we made that decision. It was scary.
It was very scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. We cut all of our old trainers. We got rid of all of their clients and we were down to,
I would say that we had 6 to 8 clients.
We had 6 to 8 clients at one point. And we started to desperately build from there. And then you came along. And then you came along and saved us pretty much. And things have been unbelievable since then. Yeah. They've really gotten a lot better. We've
rebuilt.
Yeah.
We've set a really good foundation for our business. And we're just kind of continuing to grow and feed off the momentum that we've created and worked so hard for.
Yeah. So
for
we're
the past few years.
That's right. So we're following your advice. We're doing those things. We came down to see you in Louisville, which was great. Big turning point for us. The decade and a day. It was huge. It was huge. Life changing. So we just kind of been following your advice and just sharpening the sword as time goes on and things have just gotten better and better.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm gonna get choked up over all of this. But so
no, it's true, it's all true.
Yeah.
So today we're going to do a little bit of kind of on the fly business coaching, because as with all businesses, even though things are going
really well. I think all of our businesses are kind of always in a state of evolution. And what we want out of those businesses probably are, you know, continues to evolve too. So I know you've got a couple things you want to go over today. So do you want to kick off with the first one?
Yeah, I'll take it. So at this point, one of our early issues was getting leads, and then getting leads was our biggest issue. And that's not a problem right now. We are getting so many leads and we have so much business coming in. And I don't say that to be arrogant or anything, because it's like a 10-year process it's taking for us to get there. But Shar is on the phone like constantly. And, you know, like we talked a little bit about before, I see a stress response when that, you know, smartphone makes a sound, makes some kind of buzzing sound or whatever. There are different sounds, email, text, and I can see a stress response from her. And it's gotten worse over time. And so we've talked about it. I said, you know, you need some rules or what have you to deal with that, because that it's just not going to continue. It can't continue. So that was kind of our first question was how to deal with that. Those new clients coming in, the clients that we have that just want a piece of Shar, because everybody loves Shar and they love talking to her and she's great. So how do we deal with that? What do you think?
So the first thing, like, let me make sure I'm 100% clear. So this is people who've come on board and they are clients, or they're still in kind of that they're kind of in between that being a lead and being a client phase, or both?
Well, I mean, yes, both, because the clients that we have currently who are great, but everybody always needs something, and that something is always very important to them. And then, so dealing with that and dealing with our regular check-ins that we do with our athletes, just, you know, the personal touches, that kind of thing. So between managing their issues, personal touches with them, and then on top of that, an influx of leads, just because we are leading into our off season, it got very overwhelming, to the point where I went a little nuts. I went crazy.
Sure, I
went a little bit crazy, because you're trying to deal with the business, but, and you're trying to deal with your own home and your own family. You know, we have three kids and we're dealing with that. It just got to be too much and bad things happened.
So I'm sure that could be a whole podcast episode by itself, figuring out the nuances of that. But, I think the first thing that we have to establish as a business owner is this understanding that we teach people how to treat us.
Right.
So whatever you teach them to do, that's going to be the default response most of the time. Not all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you can establish some ground rules pretty easily. Just, hey, you know what? This is when my phone's going to be on, or this is when my phone is going to be in a place that I can access it. And, or it could be as simple as, depending on how your self-discipline is, even if you have your phone, you have kind of on-duty hours and off-duty hours, because you know, realistically, no matter what you charge, you're probably not charging a rate that means you're on call.
Right.
And most every business that we would associate with, I don't care if it's, you know, a retail business, or it's our dentist, or it's the person who cuts our hair or whatever else, they have posted hours of operation. We get into a little bit of a kind of a gray area, I think, in our industry, because we are very service minded and we care about helping people. We care about creating this culture where it feels like a family. But I mean, ultimately, if you establish some pretty simple kind of either internal rules or posted rules, it's going to become almost a non-existent problem. And it could be as simple as, okay, I don't respond to calls or texts or emails after, 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. or over the weekend or whatever else. And clearly, we all have the right to kind of break our own rules. And there may be one or two times a year, or maybe there are 5 or 10 times a year that you break that rule because there truly was something that was urgent. But the thing we have to think about with the way that communication functions now and how different it is from the way that communication probably functioned 10 or 12 years ago. I kind of grew up in an era, and you guys are a little younger than me, but I think you guys did too, where if you called somebody and they weren't home, you left an answering machine message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now people message us and they're doing it on their time. Well, you have to understand that you're responding on your time, not their time. And you, just because they can conveniently text you or Facebook message you or call you right now, doesn't mean that you're available right now. And, I think that all it takes is just not responding. And then if they ask you why you didn't respond, you could say, hey, I was with my family. And they're 90% of the time, they're going to get the picture. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to bother you. You said, hey, it was no bother. No bother at all. I got back to you when I was available. And, 90% of the time that is enough. And then for that other 10% of the time, sometimes you have to either have a pretty firm conversation with somebody, or you have to say, look, maybe this isn't the best place for you.
Okay. I understand that. I do. However, sometimes how I feel and how I think is that if we have a new family coming to us, a new parent wanting to gather information about us, that if I don't answer the phone, I don't respond right away, then that's potentially a missed opportunity. Because a lot of the way I think these parents work is, they do a little bit of research looking for something for their athlete. They go online, they pick, the top four that come up on the Google search or whatever it is. And then they just go down the list. And whoever happens to pick up the phone when they call, sometimes that's the winner. That's the place.
Right. And it may be a missed opportunity, but that doesn't mean it's a missed good opportunity.
Yeah.
So the way that I would think of this is, if the person that is hiring you is only hiring you based on the expectation that you are going to respond instantly to fans, yet they're paying you a couple $100 a month, that's probably the wrong person.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good point.
They're not ideal, Char.
They're not ideal. All right.
Yeah. I don't think that's unfair. I think it's just setting realistic expectations. I think that so much of the friction that we have in life, be it our own personal lives or our professional lives or whatever else, come from misplaced or kind of miscommunicated expectations. Somebody expects something from us that we're not prepared to deliver and we don't know that we're supposed to deliver, or we expect something of somebody else and they don't even know that we're expecting that. And so, with this is just you kind of setting expectations from day one that, look, we're going to get back to you within 24 hours, but, you know, we're going to take care of the people that are our current clients. We're going to take care of our families because we are certainly a family-focused business. And then if you want us to take care of you in that same way, then you probably have to respect our guardrails.
That's great, Pat.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. She's been brainwashed by another organization. So thanks for unbrainwashing her. I appreciate it.
No, it's normal, right? I had a gentleman who was a client of mine who Facebook messaged me on a Saturday, and I was at my son's basketball game, and I responded to him on Monday. And then he was coming to see me for a one-day coaching session later that week, and we sat down. You could tell he was a little bit perturbed by this whole idea that I didn't respond instantly. He said, well, why didn't you respond? I said, well, I was at my son's game. And so I got back to you when I was back working. And he said, but it was just a quick Facebook message. I said, right. And you pay me to be a client for this, this, and this. And if you wanted to pay me to be your on-call business coach, you'd probably pay me about 10 times what you do pay me. And he said, well, you know, I don't know how you do that. And then he proceeded to tell me that clients would like message him during Christmas and things like that. And he would feel obligated to text them back within like the hour. I said, you know, I mean, the person that expects you to text them back on Christmas Day within the hour is probably not a person that you want to be doing business with long term.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would put this in play. I don't think you're going to have any issue. And in fact, I will tell you a little trick, and this may get me in trouble here with the fact that there are other people in our industry here listening. There are plenty of times that somebody will message me and I am logged on online or have my phone by my side, and I will not respond instantly, even though it would actually be very convenient for me to do so, because I don't want to set that precedent that this is what you can expect. And I also know that it's much easier to get pulled into a back and forth conversation that ends up taking 15 or 20 minutes if you respond in the moment versus if you do what they did, which is respond when it's convenient for you, and then just like they messaged you when it was convenient for them. And if they're offline, then, you know, the back and forth will certainly be throttled because of that. So if I were you, you know, I would tell you that's the way that I would go. And frankly, you know, I know that it's not hurt my business at all to kind of be a little bit more diligent about establishing those guardrails.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That's Deal. Great. Yeah.
I will do that.
Yes.
Vacation stops on emails and.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. And tell people, like, if you're going to go on vacation, set up a responder message that says, hey, I'll be getting to these on this date. So you're setting expectations.
Okay. Good.
Do you feel better, Char?
I do feel better.
Yes. Thank you, Pat.
Just needed to hear it from the Oracle.
Saving our marriage. <Thank you. laughs>
Yes, that's what we do on birthdays only. So I know you had a second question. What do you got on that one?
All right. So We've talked about this before. Oh. So we train teams now and again. They come at us
through our channel,
and we've had some problems with them. I think what's happened over time is people. I'm going to just speak for Canada from where I'm at. Is the kids have come to expect the dry land. The dry land's usually not very good. It's kind of like playtime for them and mess around time for them. They always act out. And I don't tolerate any of those things. Like when they're coming to train, I'm going to train them. I don't care if they're 10 or 20 or whatever. And when they're messing around, I make sure that I take care of that issue so that we can have a productive session. Anyway, some kids and parents aren't used to that, but whatever. So we've had some issues with teams, with discipline, I would say. You know, people aren't used to disciplining their kids, maybe. I don't know. But
they're outsourcing parenting to you. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I think just to like get rid of a bunch of issues, we were thinking about doing a code of conduct that they'd have to agree to before we train them. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. I think that it kind of is similar to what we just talked about with the communication outside of training sessions, in that, you know, a lot of this can be set up as an expectation. I also think it is wise to tell them why you're doing this, what's in it for them. So it's not just this one-sided thing. Say like, look, man, if you guys come to us, we really only want to work with people who are using dry land training as a competitive advantage, not to just keep busy in the off season. And so because of that, we've established some kind of terms of engagement here, where if we're going to do this, here are the expectations and here's what you can expect from us.
That's good.
I like that.
Do you have any ideas off the top of the head? You've been coaching a long time, Pat. You've been coaching. You coach a lot of baseball teams.
I'm old. Yes.
You're calling him old.
I'm calling him wise. He's wise, not old. Wise. What do you think for a couple of those? Yeah.
You know, I think that it's probably reasonable to Before I get into this, give me a couple examples of things that are problems, because you may have already solved some of the common problems, so I don't want to reiterate those.
Sure. It's the typical acting out. Like, I hate that. It's just disrupting other people around them. Yeah. That kind of thing, like that disruptive behavior. A buddy of mine used to call it the cool guy card. They pull out the cool guy card. You know, they're like, I'm too cool to do whatever this is. And I always call them on it. I'm like, why don't you put your cool guy card away?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it's just an acting out most of the time. And I crush it. I always crush it, right? Like, that's disciplining them is not the problem. I can always control them. That's no issue. It's just, you know, they go back to the one parent. It's never a lot of parents. It's always one or two parents. But I don't want that, like, acting out. I want them to know that they're gonna pay the consequences for that.
Well, so what's in it for them if they don't act out? What's the benefit to them?
They're gonna get better. They're gonna learn. Like the one thing I always say to everybody is, hey, look, you know, I don't set up anything to waste your time. Like I trained speed skaters in China, and those, you know, the leaders in China, they didn't even come watch the training sessions. They didn't care. All they cared about is that the speed skaters went faster. So a lot of my methods that I use, like they don't look cool or anything, but they make people better. I had no choice but to make people better because my contract came up every 90 days and they wanted to see progress. So when I'm training these kids, there's no fluff. There's no wasted stuff. It's very slick training. And it will, you know, I'm pretty good at identifying what they need. So they're going to get better if they do what I say. If that sounds arrogant.
Well, whether it sounds kind of boisterous or not is irrelevant, right? Like that's the benefit to them. So I would just link that to them. Say, okay, so because we want this to be a competitive advantage for you, and because we are 100% committed to making you better, in fact, that is our whole point of working together. You know, you agree not to do X and you agree not to do Y. Mm-hmm. And you understand that if you break this agreement, then, you know, we will address it in a way that ensures that you are not detracting from the good of the group.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Can you write that down, Char?
Yeah.
That's great. No, the wording is very important, right? So,
yeah, I mean, I think making sure that they understand why we're, you know, what the benefit is to them. And then I think one of the things that I kind of made a rule for me as a coach years and years ago that I still believe in is, you know, I'm willing to go pretty far with an individual as far as kind of trying to win them back and get them on the right path and get them making the right choices. As long, like, I will go with them to right up into the point that it's detrimental to the group. Once it becomes detrimental to the group, then, you know, that individual no longer can be the focal point. And so I think that can kind of become your default setting, if you will. And I think the parents should probably be signing a code of conduct as well. In fact, the organization I coach in with baseball, there is a parental code of conduct. And, you know, it's not, hey, you don't have the right to question this or question that. It's just that I agree that, you know, as a family, we're going to uphold these standards because we are committed to getting better, and that's why we're here.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. Perfect.
Okay. So I know those were our two kind of primary things. So anything else? Any other topics we want to touch on?
No, I don't think so. I think we've taken care of like the two big ones that we had. I'm fine.
Well, I think that's probably a great way to kind of bring this together, because I think that's one of the things that has been so impressive to watch with you guys in the time we've been working together is typically you will come with 2 to 3 items and you'll get clarity on them, you'll figure out what you want to do, and then you just go execute, and then you'll come back and do the same thing once those are executed. I think a lot of people get stuck in wherever they are in business because they're always kind of chasing the same solution and they never get down to implementation. And I think that if we spend all of our time on this consumption and never really on production, you know, it's a recipe for stress and frustration and ultimately maybe even business failure. So I think that's pretty neat that you guys, you know, you came, you said, no, this is all we need. And, you know, you'll go execute it. And I'm sure we'll be back on a call a month from now and you'll have 1 or 2 more things and you'll execute those. And that's why you guys keep improving.
I think it's, yeah. I mean, for us and the way that we operate, I think just very much like how we built the business, it's all base hits, right? It's base hits with our clients, slowly growing. Never, we're not looking for the home run. And that's how I think we approach your calls as well. Mm-hmm. Small chunks, just trying to get better a little bit
That's right. At
a time. And then, you know, over time, we've created something really stable and manageable. And we can still have, you know, a fun life and fun. And those are important to us.
That's right.
Those are important.
Yeah, I think what people do is they admire the problem and they keep admiring the problem. And that never goes away. Mm-hmm. They never just solve it and go on to the next thing. So we try not to admire the problem too much.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you guys, I appreciate you jumping on here and letting us kind of do a podcast version of a business coaching call, especially on Char's birthday. So
yeah.
Thank you guys a bunch, and you know what? Go celebrate. And thanks to everybody listening in. And that's us for another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. And I've got a special gift for you. I'm giving away copies of my 2 best-selling books, The Fitness Entrepreneur's Handbook and the Ideal Business Formula. To get your copies, head over to patrigsby.com/gift.